Christ.
Or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will be to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by his power, enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his.
Now let's come again before God in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we know that your word calls us to pray, and we thank you that you constantly hear prayer as we come before you in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank you that Christ mediates our prayers, and that you enable us by the Holy Spirit in order that we should pray. We thank you that you have given us in a very generous way the help that we need for us to fulfill this priestly obligation of praying and interceding on behalf of others. We pray for those that you have placed in authority over us. We pray for the Queen and her family. We pray for the Duke of Edinburgh that you will recover him to health and strength. We ask our God that the royal family will be able to exhibit and maintain a moral authority in our country and across the Commonwealth. We pray for the Prime Minister and his cabinet. We pray for the Chancellor of the Exchequer as he produces a budget this week. We think of many, our God, that find themselves in financial difficulty because of the lockdown. We thank you, our God, for a government that is willing to contribute to those who are in need. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless those that seek to distribute the vaccine. We pray, our God, that you will bring down the numbers of those who are in hospital and those who are dying of this terrible disease. We pray, our God, for the scientists. We thank you for them, for the common grace that you have given them, the ability to be able to understand how to put together a vaccine. We do pray again, our God, that we will know peace in our country, peace in our world. We pray for Myanmar this morning and ask our God that soon that elections will be held and that a civil government will be appointed. We pray for restraint from the army, that they will not continue to shoot people. Father, we pray for nations round about that could have an influence. We pray for China and for Russia. And we ask our God that they will bring a good influence upon that country. We thank you for this country, our God, and for the institutions that have been put in place. We're so grateful that we have an NHS. that has been able to deal right across the country with those that are in need. We pray, our God, for those who are waiting for the vaccine, that they will be patient. And, O God, as that is rolled out, that it might be done in an efficient way, that lives might be preserved. We pray that you will preserve these institutions of the NHS, of our police force, the armed forces, fire brigade and the ambulance service. We pray too for safety in our schools as the children go back to the classroom. We pray for teachers, our God, that they will be kept safe. We pray too for the churches in our land. Forgive us, Lord, for straying from your word. Work in our hearts that we might understand your truth, that we might love truth, and that we will have a will and a desire to proclaim only the truth that is in your word, that others might be able to share in the freedom of sins forgiven, that they might be able to share in the great salvation that you have brought into our lives. Lord, help us to be mindful of so many whose lives have been touched by recent tragedy. Enable them, our God, to find shelter and food. We pray for many relief agencies across the world that seek to alleviate damage and harm. Bless them, and may they use the resources that they have wisely. We pray again for our congregation this morning. We think of our sister in hospital and ask, our God, that you will be merciful, that, our God, that the procedures will soon be successful, and that she will be restored to health and strength. Remember her family. Pray for her son and daughter, that your hand will be upon them, that you will bless them. Remember those who are having their health monitored at this time. Be near to them, our God. We pray for elderly folk who are realizing the frailty of the body more and more as the days pass. Lord, we pray that you will be with them and bless them. Be pleased to hear our prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, a few weeks ago, when we were looking at the meaning of the term justification, we referred to the catechism studies that Gerald has taken us through. And question 32 of that catechism asks the question, what do justification and sanctification mean? And the answer that it gives is, justification means our declared righteousness before God, made possible by Christ's death and resurrection for us. Sanctification means our gradual growing righteousness made possible by the Spirit's work in us. Now remember how we described justification as being like the work of a judge as opposed to the work of a surgeon. A surgeon will do some work to us or in us to make us better. The judge doesn't do anything to us or in us. He just makes a declaration. We're either innocent or we're guilty. So justification is not about God doing something in us. It is about God declaring that we are righteous because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today what I want to do is to look at that second part of the catechism and for us to think about sanctification. If you are a Christian, you have been set apart by God for special use. You are a holy person. You are a holy vessel intended for God's special use. I want us to think about how God goes about that, how he sets his people apart in this special way. God sets us apart from other people. He sets us apart from sin. But how does God do this? Now, the term that we use when we talk about God setting us apart is this word, sanctified. God sets us apart, or another way of saying it is that God sanctifies us. He makes us different. He sets us apart from all other people. Now, in this section of Philippians, we can see that Paul is clearly interested in us moving on as Christians. He doesn't want us to stagnate. It's not enough just to be saved, to be a Christian, to be converted. But he wants us to grow and to develop in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has set us apart. And this process of moving on in the Christian life is called sanctification. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." It is that pressing on that I want us to think about. What is sanctification? Sanctification fits into the great work of redemption that God is doing in our lives. There is no Christian that is not sanctified. There is no Christian that does not have the Holy Spirit. Every single Christian has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. There are no first class or second class Christians, those with the Spirit and those without the Spirit. If you haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit, then you're not a Christian. Every single Christian has this blessing. They're not waiting for a second blessing. They're not waiting for another elevation to a new platform, a new plane. God has given us everything that we need to live the godly life. Redemption is a work of God that is carried out for us because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is applied to our lives by the work of the Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done on the cross. That redemption was first applied in our lives at conversion. But long before your conversion to Christ, long before your birth, even before time began, it had been God's purpose, God's intention, God's plan to redeem you, to buy you out of the slave market of sin. Those that are converted because they have been chosen in Christ. But in a point of time, in their time, the Holy Spirit applied that redemption to you as a person. You were regenerated, you were born again, you put your faith in Christ. But that did not end God's work of redemption in your life. God continues to redeem you. There is a progressive application of redemption in our lives. And that ongoing application of redemption to our lives is this sanctification that we have referred to. So if we ask, what is sanctification? Sanctification is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and more like Christ in our actual lives. Sanctification is not a single act. There are three stages to our sanctification. The first stage of our sanctification happened at conversion. Sanctification had a definite beginning when we became Christians. There is a definite moral change that takes place in us at conversion, where we are set apart for God. And that has often been called definitive sanctification. It is a past and definite work of God in our lives. In Titus 3 and 5, Paul says, "He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." God gave us a new beginning. He gave us renewal. He gave us a new part, a new start. A beginning and start on a new pathway of life that is different to the pathway that others are on. Having been born again, we cannot continue to sin as a habit or pattern of life, because the power of the new spiritual life within us keeps us from yielding to a life of sin. This initial stage in sanctification involves a definite break from the ruling power of sin and from the love of sin, so that the believer is no longer dominated by sin and no longer loves sin. God has written his word upon our hearts and caused us to want to do things his way. In Romans 6, Paul describes the Christian as being dead to sin. Dead to the ruling power of sin means that we are Christians. By virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ working within us, we have power to overcome the temptations and the enticements of sin. Sin no longer is our master. As once we become Christians, we come under a new ruler. We come under the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second stage of our sanctification, the first stage is definitive. It takes place at our conversion. We're set apart, we're made different. The second stage of our sanctification is progressive. It is a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that takes place throughout our Christian lives. We can be confident of this, that God, who began a good work in us, will complete that work and bring it to perfection. Even though the New Testament speaks about a definite beginning to sanctification, it also sees sanctification as a process that continues throughout our Christian lives. And this is often referred to as progressive sanctification. Definitive sanctification is the work that the Holy Spirit does in us at conversion. Progressive sanctification is the continuing work that God does in us. Now, although Paul in Romans 6 states that we have been set free from sin and that we are dead to sin and alive to God, he nonetheless recognizes that sin remains in our lives. We know that too well. We know how disappointed we can be in ourselves that once more we have sinned against our Father in heaven. Once more we've had wrong thoughts, we've had said wrong words, we have done wrong things. There is a problem. But Paul tells us not to let sin reign in us and not to yield to sin. Our task as Christians then is to grow more and more in sanctification. Just as prior to the new birth, we are to grow more and more in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we were outside of God, outside of Christ, we grew in sin, we developed as sinners. In Romans 6 and 19, Paul says, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. Throughout the Christian life, we are constantly being transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, Paul says, And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being changed. We are being transformed more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are progressively becoming more and more like Christ as we move on in the Christian life. Paul does not look at the Christian life as standing still. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's pressing on. He's growing. He's developing. He's improving. He's becoming more and more like his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul recognizes that he is not already perfect. He hasn't reached the goal. But he presses on to achieve all of the purpose for which Christ has saved him. Hebrews tells us to get running in our Christian lives and to hang in there until we reach the finishing line. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, the writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, who are these witnesses? These are the believers who have already gone to heaven. And if you like, they've lined themselves up on the running track. And they're cheering us on. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. There's Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Jacob, there's Isaiah, there's Ezekiel, there's Paul, there's Peter, there's John. And they're cheering us on. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let's get the overcoat off and let's run the race. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The writer to the Hebrews wants us to be runners. He wants us to be engaging and participating in the race. Not only are we to run the race, but Hebrews 12:14, we are to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. To sanctify is to make holy. The writer to the Hebrews wants us to be holy, because without holiness no one will see the Lord. James tells us that we ought to be active. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just be listeners and hearers, but be doers. All of the moral exhortations and commands in the New Testament exhort believers to one aspect or another of greater sanctification in our lives. It is the expectation of all the New Testament writers that our sanctification will increase throughout our Christian lives. Because God is continually working in us, we will never be able to say that we are completely free from sin, because our sanctification is not completed in this life. Now, there are some people who say that you can be perfect, that you can be free entirely from sin. What I suggest is you talk to their wives and you'll soon get the answer to that question. We're not completely free of sin, not in this life. We haven't already achieved the goal, but we're pressing on to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. So the first stage of our sanctification is that definitive sanctification that took place when we were converted. The second stage of our sanctification is progressive. It is happening throughout our lives. While there is breath in your body, God is working in us to complete and move us on to be more Christ-like. The final stage of sanctification is in its completion in heaven. At death, our souls are fully sanctified. Once we die and go to be with the Lord, our sanctification is completed in one sense. For our souls are free from indwelling sin and are made perfect. But then we have to wait for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because at the second coming of Christ, our bodies will be fully sanctified. When we appreciate that sanctification involves the whole person, including our bodies, then we will realize that sanctification will not be entirely completed until the Lord returns. Think of it. Those pains that you have in your knees, that'll be gone. No blood pressure medication required. No high cholesterol. No pain in the lower back or in the neck. No cancer. No issues with heart. Our bodies will be like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. I've only been in this church for a few years. So some of you, I have only known you as elderly people. We notice the frailty. I can only wonder what you might have been like at the age of 30. The energy, the industry, all that you've achieved. But one day I'll see you like that, free from all disability, free from all health issues, free from all mental health issues. Some of you have had mental health issues all your lives, and you live with that, and in this life there is no possibility of that being solved, but here it will be solved. The mind will be renewed, the body will be renewed, the soul will be renewed. With the power of resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly bodies and give us a body like his glorious body. Never again to know weakness. Never again to fail to achieve because of the limitations of the body. Because that sanctification will be complete in heaven. At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be made alive with a resurrection body. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, and then we shall fully bear the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so then we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. We will be like Christ. So we are sanctified at the beginning of our Christian lives, a definitive work of setting us apart and making us forever different. And then throughout our Christian lives, progressively, to be made more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, but ultimately ending in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we will see him as he is. We will be like him. And that work that God began, he will complete in us. So we're sanctified throughout life, beginning at conversion and ending at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sanctification takes place throughout our lives as we cooperate with God in our sanctification. So God cooperates with us, or we cooperate with God in this progressive sanctification. Now, some people fight shy of saying that God and man cooperates in sanctification. But as they develop their ideas, you can see that they go on to stress God's primary role and man's secondary role. And that is how I believe the scriptures presents the cooperation. God is primary and man is secondary. In Philippians 2 verse 12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you and to act according to his good purpose. God works in our sanctification, and we work as well, and we work towards the same purpose that God has. We do not have equal roles in sanctification, but we cooperate with God in ways that are appropriate to our status as God's redeemed creatures. Let's think first of all of God's role in our sanctification. Paul prays in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells the Philippians, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God sanctifies us both by causing us to want his will and by giving us the power to do his will. In that sense, God is primary. God works in us so that we can work out our salvation, work out our sanctification. But the Bible also refers to the various roles of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The role of God the Father, one specific role of God the Father in this sanctification, is his process of disciplining us as his children. In Hebrews 12, our fathers, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Now, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Some of the hard knocks that we get in life can be because the Lord is bringing discipline into our lives. But that discipline is to produce a harvest of righteousness, a greater holiness. It is intended to help to sanctify us. The role of God the Son. We must never forget that Jesus earned our sanctification for us. Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our holiness. Christ is our redemption. We stand as men and women in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never at any stage can we earn our own sanctification. The merit for getting us started is Christ's merit. The merit for keeping us going is Christ's merit. The merit for completing our sanctification and glorification in heaven is Christ's merit. Jesus also provides in our sanctification a role model for us to follow. Again, the writer to the Hebrews says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Peter says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And John says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. He is the role model. He is the example. He is the pattern after which we should fashion our lives. So there is the role of God the Father and God the Son, and there is the role of God the Holy Spirit. It is specifically the role of the Holy Spirit who works within us to change us and to sanctify us, giving us greater holiness of life. Peter speaks of the sanctifying work of the Spirit in 1 Peter 1 verse 2. Paul speaks of the sanctification by the Spirit in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. It is the Holy Spirit who produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. Those character traits are part of a greater and greater sanctification. We will never be able to manage in our own strength to make any progress in the Christian life. The desire to grow as Christian, that desire comes from God. But we must pray for a greater desire. The power to function comes from God, but we must look to God, the provider of that power. In whatever way we look at our sanctification, the role of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a primary role. But yet there remains our responsibility for us. There remains the role that we have to play. The role that we play in sanctification is both a passive one, in which we learn to depend upon God to sanctify us, but it is also an active role in which we strive to obey God and to take steps that will increase our sanctification. Our passive role is seen in texts that encourage us to trust God or to pray and to ask that God might sanctify us. Paul tells his readers in Romans 6 and 13, offer yourselves to God. Offer. Give yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Here, Lord, is my life as an instrument. Play that tune in my life that you desire to play. I offer myself to you as an instrument in service. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer, to give yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In this passive role, we have to learn to trust in God and to depend upon God. As we make any progress at all, we are likely to become impressed by our own ability. Didn't I do well today? We get infatuated by our own wisdom and insight. We become self-confident in a bad sense. Then we have to learn again to depend upon God. Or we can also run to the other extreme. We see our failure and we want to just give up. There's no point, it's hopeless. I'm hopeless. I'm never going to make anything of this Christian life because I've failed again. We shouldn't give up. We should look to God for help. That's our passive role, offering ourselves to God, looking to God to help us live the godly life. But we also have an active role to play. That active role that we play is indicated in Romans 8 and verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Paul acknowledges that it is by the Holy Spirit that we're able to put to death the misdeeds of the body. But he also says we must do it. It is not the Holy Spirit who is commanded to put to death the misdeeds of the body. It is us. The prior and foundational work of God in sanctification means that our own work is empowered by God, and therefore it will be worthwhile and it will bear positive results. Our active role is our role to be at war with the sin that remains in our lives. We study the Bible to see what sin is. We study ourselves to see where it is, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we deal with that indwelling sin. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible. I don't understand it. Well, maybe I need to open it and read it. And as I read it, then the Holy Spirit helps me understand. But while that Bible remains closed, the Holy Spirit will not help me understand it. I have to actively take it and open it, and I have to actively read it. I have studied the Bible for years. I have thousands of books on the Bible. I have a library in Tiptree. I've got some books in the study across the way. I've got some books up in the manse. And I've never counted them. And I don't know how many I have read completely. I'm a scribbler, so if you look at a book that I have, you'll see that I've underlined it and I've written maybe some notes in the margin. But after having studied the Bible for years, and even completed a PhD in systematic theology, I still have a lot to learn. Even the books of the Bible that I have preached through, I can go through them again, and the Holy Spirit has much to teach me again. But I have that active role where I have to read, I have to study. Now, it's not given to everyone to study thousands of books on the Bible. That's my job. That's what I believe it is my responsibility to do. But there never comes a point where I'll close up the books and say, I've now learned it all. I can now rest because I've preached through every book of the Bible and there's nothing more to learn. As long as there is breath in your body, there is more for you to learn. There are many aspects to this active role that we play in our own sanctification. Again, Hebrews says, make every effort to be holy, because without holiness, No one will see the Lord. Make every effort. Apply yourself to this work. Apply yourself to this task. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, says Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4. In our active role, we're to learn our duty and responsibility before the Lord. This duty extends to the sanctification of every aspect of our lives, because sanctification affects the whole person. It affects our intellect. We are to be changed through the renewing of our minds. We are to learn to think the way that God thinks. And we can learn the ways of God by looking more closely at what God says in His Word. Sanctification involves not just the intellect, it involves our emotions, our joy, our happiness, our sadness, our anger, our disappointment, our depression. That all must be brought under control. There must be progress and development in what we feel and how we feel. We don't lose our emotions. We don't suppress our emotions. We don't allow our cultural background to run riot with our emotions, but we seek to bring everything into conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that they say that the Irish are a little bit hot-headed. Ridiculous statement, really. But if I react in anger or in a hot-headed way, and then I make the excuse, oh, that's just my Irish background. That Irish background needs to be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit and changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what trait your nationality gives to you, but if that trait is not biblical, it needs to be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to say, oh, it's because I'm Irish, or it's because I'm English, or it's because I'm Asian, it's because I'm Indian, it's because I'm Chinese, whatever. If it does not conform to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, it needs to be brought under control. It needs to be sanctified. Our intellect, our emotions, but also our will. As we grow in sanctification, our will should become more and more conformed to the will of our Heavenly Father. As we all reflect on this work of sanctification, and think of the mercy and the grace of God, that He even bothers with us. As we reflect that He never gives up on us, but He constantly renews us. That reflection ought to cause a sense of thanksgiving in our hearts, that God is bothered to still work in us day after day. We also ought to ask ourselves how much we have concentrated on our spiritual welfare, and so today pledge to look to God for help and discipline ourselves in our walk with God, to seek to know Christ in the power of His resurrection, to know Christ in the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, and so somehow become like Him in His death. There is that definitive work of sanctification. We were set apart, made holy by God at the time of our conversion. Since that new birth, you've been growing as a baby into an adult, into a mature Christian. God is continuing to work in you, and God will complete that work when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again and we are have our lowly bodies changed into His likeness, never again to fail, never again to disappoint. I trust that God will help us as we apply ourselves to sanctification. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you continue to work with us and in us. We pray, our God, that you will help us to apply ourselves that we might be more holy. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.